I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll look back on the career of a football icon, as David Beckham calls time on a glittering career. We'll reflect on an extraordinary week for Wigan that saw them secure FA Cup glory, but then suffer the misery of relegation. We'll discuss which North London giant will finish in the top four. We'll preview the Empower League One and Two playoff finals, and we'll look ahead to the biggest game in European club rugby, as Toulon take on Clermont or Vaughan in the Heineken Cup final. Well, I'm delighted to be joined by sports broadcaster Daniel Freeman. And Dan, let's start with David Beckham. He's decided to hang up his boots at the end of the season, which is fast approaching. He's just won the French League title with Paris Saint-Germain, and he's the only Englishman to win titles in four different countries. He won a league title in England with Manchester United, of course, won the Spanish title with Real Madrid, won the MLS Cup with LA Galaxy out in the United States, and he's just won that Liga title with Paris Saint-Germain. 115 England caps as well, won the European Cup, the Champions League with Manchester United. It's a hell of a career, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, and to think that some people still don't see the big deal. It defies belief simply because he's not quite as fast as some people perceive a right midfielder they should be. It's quite incredible. I think from David Beckham's point of view now, it's just about going on and doing stuff where he can, his influence around the world, you know, don't underestimate the influence that David Beckham has in all four corners of the world. And it's been a remarkable career. Look at all of those trophies he's won, and it's sort of, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson last week, Paul Scholes again, you know, and it's the end of an era, as certainly as we know it. But Manchester United, but obviously with David Beckham, because we've watched his whole career. And it's been a privilege to do so because, there's been some downs. Don't forget the World Cup in 1998. Playing-wise, he had a fantastic World Cup.
Until he kicked Diego Simeone.
Exactly.
And got himself sent off.
Exactly. But he bounced back from that. And yeah. I don't know many other players that would have done so, you know. It's hard to say if you think about some of the players, you know, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, if something like that had happened in their career, could they have bounced back the way that David Beckham had?
Well, Beckham won the treble, didn't he, the year after? So.
That helped.
Yeah, very impressive.
It's going to be missed. A fantastic career. And let's just hope now that he can use his influences, like I say, to positive effect around the world. You know, he does so many different things with charity and so forth. I'm sure he's got exciting times ahead.
Well, speaking to Sky Sports News, Beckham says winning the French title with Paris Saint-Germain recently convinced him to go out on a high.
I think over the years, when I've seen players retire, they always say, you'll know when you're ready. You know, I think I'm ready. It's a difficult decision because I still feel that I can play at the top level. But I always secretly said to myself that I want to go out at the top.
You said, Dan, that he hasn't had his due from some people in terms of being a top player. Do you think the fact that he's transcended the sport and he's become this kind of global marketing icon, do you think that's taken away from his abilities as a player in terms of how he's perceived?
Yeah, actually, you're dead right, because I heard a reporter on the BBC yesterday saying, you know, the fame has overridden the talent. And I wasn't quite sure what I made of that because, you know, the talent of his talent has won him 115 England caps. It's won him part of all of these teams that have won all of these trophies all over the world. His fame will now obviously exceed the talent because he's not going to be playing football anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But throughout his football career, it's his talent that got him to where he was.
It's been an extraordinary week for Wigan Athletic. On Saturday at Wembley, they won the FA Cup final, a 1-0 victory over Manchester City. Ben Watson scoring the winner in stoppage time. But then just a few days later, they went to the Emirates and were thrashed 4-1 by Arsenal. And that condemned them to relegation, ending their 8-year stay in the Premier League. Let's hear from the Latics manager, Roberto Martinez.
I didn't expect this to happen. The way we've been playing this season, I don't think we deserve to be in the bottom three. The reality is that we are, and there are reasons for it, but at least I'm proud and I'm glad that the players, they've been able to show what they are in winning the FA Cup.
My take on Wigan's relegation is that they didn't defend well enough at any stage of the campaign, and they had key injuries at key times. And also, there's only so many times you can recycle a team. He loses his best player every single summer. Victor Moses, the most recent, of course, went off to Chelsea. It's a hard thing to do, isn't it, with those resources?
Yeah, certainly. Hugo Rodallega as well, last summer as well. He was a key player in the previous year's fight for relegation. Defending-wise, throughout the season, at various points, they've been let down by defending, even when they've had their so-called first-choice players out on the pitch. Started the second half really well against Arsenal on Tuesday night, and all of a sudden they concede a couple of goals in a couple of minutes and they're just completely gone. It's a shame because they played some good football even in that match, and they scored a great goal through Sean Maloney as well. And they will be missed in the Premier League, Wigan, but I don't think this is the end of Wigan Athletic or Roberto Martinez, is it?
No, I was just going to ask you actually about Martinez, because when it was announced that David Moyes was leaving Everton, my thoughts initially went straight to Martinez, and I think he's probably the perfect man for that job, really, to take them on and maybe even take them up a level. But do you think he'll stay at Wigan and be bloody-minded and try and tough it out and take them back into the Premier League, or do you think he'll move on?
Well, Everton traditionally are a club that employ English/British managers. They have done for a number of years now. And immediately, Malky Mackay was also linked with a job. Neil Lennon has as well. I don't know if either of those would do as good a job as Roberto Martinez. In fact, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't, because Roberto Martinez, he's had some money at Swansea at a championship level, but not a great deal. And he certainly hasn't had any money at Wigan. So he knows how to deal with budgets, and he knows what it's like to bring players through. He's brought Callum McManaman through at Wigan this season. That's a great example of that. And he would definitely be appreciated at Goodison Park. I think it all comes down to him again. It was his decision last summer, not to go to Aston Villa. And probably his decision, we don't know the full story, but maybe his decision not to go to Liverpool either. So it'll be down to him whether he feels or not that he can afford to have a season back in the Championship for his own career. I think he seems like a very loyal person. It's going to be a massive decision for him to make over the summer, whether he sticks with Wigan, because Dave Whelan certainly won't be asking him to leave, will he?
Arsenal's 4-1 win over Wigan put them in the box seat when it comes to Champions League qualification. They've been battling with Spurs all season long for a place in the top four. Arsenal know, going into the final round of matches in the Premier League on Sunday, that if they win away to Newcastle, they will qualify for the Champions League yet again. But if they fail to win that game at St James's Park, then a Spurs win at home to Sunderland would see AVB's men leapfrog the Gunners. Which way do you see this one going, Dan?
Well, if it had stayed the way it was, i.e. Spurs knew a win against Sunderland would have been enough, and Arsenal needed to win at Newcastle, I wouldn't have trusted Spurs to beat Sunderland at home. They've had a season where they've taken points off the teams at the top. They've beaten Manchester United and Manchester City this season, but they've struggled against bottom third teams, particularly at home. And obviously Sunderland fall into that category. I can see Arsenal going to Newcastle and winning. I can see probably Spurs beating Sunderland, but Newcastle in the end qualifying for the Champions League. Of course, Newcastle left Steve Harper in goal. Rob Elliott's bizarre sending off at QPR last week. I've never seen quite anything like it from a goalkeeper, to get the first booking for kicking the ball away, very petulant, and then carrying the ball outside the penalty area to get sent off for a second yellow card. The mind boggles sometimes what goes through players' heads in terms of situations like that. And now it means Steve Harper will be in goal. Tim Krul's injured again at the moment, and it may well be the difference for Arsenal. Again, it was last year. They came up against, I think it was Ben Foster coming back in for West Brom at the end of the season. He had a terrible game against them last game of the season, handed them two of their three goals. They finished third in the end. Tottenham finished fourth and missed out because Chelsea won the Champions League. I can see something similar happening again. Maybe Arsenal getting gifted a goal and then going on to rout Newcastle in the end, and a Spurs victory against Sunderland being in vain.
Well, let's move from North London to West London. It's been an amazing week for Chelsea. Not only did they secure Champions League qualification with a 2-1 win at Aston Villa last weekend. But Frank Lampard secured that all-time goalscorer's record at last, moving beyond the mark set by Bobby Tambling. And then on Thursday in Amsterdam, a last-gasp winner from Branislav Ivanovic saw Chelsea lift the Europa League trophy, beating Benfica 2-1 in the final. Let's hear from Rafa Benitez.
Yeah, I think it was a great performance in the second half. Really pleased for the players, for everyone involved. In the end, I think that they deserve it because they were working so hard during the whole season.
Chelsea in the top four. Chelsea with another European trophy. It's job done for Rafa, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. When he came in, what was it, middle of November? Maybe if he'd have got off to an outstanding start, there would have been hopes that he could have kept the pressure on Manchester United and Manchester City. He took a while to adjust, didn't he? And it took a while for him to find a way of playing Fernando Torres and then Demba Ba when he signed it in January. But it certainly seemed to have worked out in the end at Chelsea. And of course, they got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup as well, losing narrowly to Manchester City, beating Manchester United in the quarterfinals. So they've had a good season, Chelsea. They deserved to win the Europa League final in the end on Wednesday. They had a poor first half. Benfica maybe could have been 1-2-0 up. But Chelsea, through a reinvigorated Fernando Torres, who looked like he picked up a knock in the first half, looked like the player of 2, 3, 4 years ago in the second half that had that burst of pace back in. It was absolutely devastating.
Yeah, the goal was great, wasn't it?
It was really a great goal, and generally he played well again. And then in the end, I thought they were deserved victors. And you could see what it meant to the players. We had this discussion on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, about the Europa League. It certainly meant a lot to them. It meant a lot for Benfica not to win it. But I just think that UEFA are undermining the competition by allowing the Champions League losers to come back into the game. You've made a point about keeping and making sure there's no dead rubbers at the end of the Champions League group phase. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just the nature of the competition. It's going to be that. That happens in World Cups as well. You get dead rubbers with games with nothing riding on it. There should be no way back into Europe in a competition when you've been knocked out.
Let's just have a quick word about Roberto Mancini, because he lost his job as Manchester City boss. It was leaked on FA Cup final day that he was to be replaced by Manuel Pellegrini. At the time of us recording that podcast, that hasn't quite happened yet. But Pellegrini, it's been confirmed, will leave Malaga at the end of the season. A trophyless season for Manchester City. Didn't qualify for the knockout phase of the Champions League. Do you think Mancini was harshly dealt with?
Well, if you consider it hadn't been... The decision would have appeared to have been made before the FA Cup final, i.e. if Manchester United had won the FA Cup, would Roberto Mancini still be out of a job? It would appear that would be the case. And I think it's harsh. He's taken Manchester City again up to second. Manchester United, the difference between the two teams this season would appear to be the signing of Robin van Persie last summer. It looked like he was going to be signing for Manchester City. Manchester United came in and Sir Alex Ferguson talked Robin van Persie into going, and that won Man United the title, and left Manchester City thinking, you know, the sort of players that they signed last summer weren't good enough in the end. And it's been an interesting few years, hasn't it, Roberto Mancini? The way that he's dealt with players, I think, has certainly captured the limelight in terms of the back pages of the newspapers. He'll be missed, I think, as a manager in the English game. I don't know if he's got a place back somewhere at another club at a later date. I think, yes, harshly dealt with, but nothing surprises you in football anymore, does it?
Well, let's wrap up this football section with Dan's specialist subject, which is Empower League 1 and Empower League 2. We've got the playoff finals coming up at Wembley Saturday. We've got Bradford City against Northampton Town. Of course, Bradford have already been to Wembley once this season. They lost to Swansea in the Capital One Cup final. So let's start with that one then, Dan. How do you see this one going?
Well, I've got to stick with Bradford. I've backed them from around about a couple of weeks before the end of the season. They've been playing cup football for really the last month or so in terms of getting themselves into the playoffs. They lost the first leg of their semi-final against Burton 3-2. But their second half performance in that game really set a marker for the second leg, which they won in the end 3-1. So I've got to stick with Bradford. Northampton have had a good season. Don't get me wrong, they were struggling against relegation the last two seasons, but Ailey Boothroyd has turned them into his team this season. They're very strong from set pieces, are quite a physical team. Doesn't mean they're not a good footballing team, but they certainly play to their strengths. So I'm going to have to say Bradford still, simply because they've got the momentum at the moment. And like I said, they've been playing cup football for more or less the last month or so. And of course, they had that great run in the League Cup this season.
So Empower League One then on Sunday. Brentford, who of course so agonisingly missed out on automatic promotion, they're up against Gary Johnson's Yeovil Town. What do you make of this one?
Well, football's been toying with Brentford fans' emotions for the past few weeks. Unbelievable scenes on that last day of the season when they lost out on automatic promotion. And then they go and get a last-minute penalty away at Swindon in the first leg of their playoff match to draw 1-1. The second leg ends 3-3. Swindon getting two late goals, including a 95th-minute equaliser. Unbelievable. And then Brentford go and win the penalty shootout. So their fans have known every single emotion possible. And I think that it's going to be another low for them this weekend. I can see Yeovil winning. They seem to have gone pretty quietly, but assured about their business. They're a decent footballing team. They've got different ways of playing. They seem to be able to adapt to whoever they come up against. If it's a big, strong team, they'll beat them in that battle. If they're a good footballing team, they can outplay them as well. I think Gary Johnson's done a tremendous job at Yeovil. The two go hand in hand. He tried it elsewhere. Peterborough, Northampton didn't quite work out for him there. But at Yeovil, Gary Johnson, sort of almost the king of Hewish Park. And I think that there might be a fairy tale ending to this story with Gary Johnson and then beating Brentford in the final.
Well, now let's switch our attention to rugby. And the sports version of the Champions League draws to a close on Sunday with the Heineken Cup final between French clubs Toulon and Clermont-Auvergne. Former England fly half Johnny Wilkinson has been in sparkling form for Toulon. And speaking to Talking Rugby in association with Amlin, he says he has plenty of respect for Sunday's opponents.
We've seen enough of Clermont this season already to know that they're a team that doesn't suffer. You know, they put their game in place no matter what the situation, no matter what the weather conditions. They play with speed, with pace, with power, with a bit of intelligence, as well as, you know, clever stuff as well. And they do it every game, week in, week out. They're probably one of the most consistent teams I've ever seen at the moment, at that level. And yeah, we know that our work's cut out for us.
Well, ahead of the Dublin showdown, Talking Rugby also caught up with the Clermont-Auvergne camp. And they spoke to the former Scotland lock, Nathan Hines.
Essentially, this is a game like any other. You know, it's hard to implement things you do every week because there's a little pressure. But you know, you don't want to change too much for a final. More effective and be more precise, and not to make mistakes. I think in finals that you know, teams that make mistakes you know, don't do as well, and just to do what we normally do, what we've had done during the year, but do it better.
Well, that's it for this week from me, Kevin Hatchard, Daniel Freeman, and the rest of the team at the Ultimate Sports Podcast. It's goodbye for now.